next step is fertilize less and irrigate, improving the recommendations for young peach plants in the southwestern U.S. by Bruno Casmali, am I right? And from University of Georgia.
Yes, thank you.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Bruno. I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Georgia, and I'll be presenting part of my PhD dissertation entitled Fertilize Less and Irrigate, Improving the Recommendations for Young Peach Plants in the Southeastern United States. So I'm going to give a little background about the current situation of irrigation in the Southeastern United States. So commonly, the young peach trees, they are not irrigated. The growers do that because the plants are not producing any fruit until the third year, so they don't see the need of investing money in the irrigation system from year 0 until 3 because there is no return. So this important initial stage of root development and canopy formation relies only on rain as water source. However, you might think that we are in the southeastern, it's going to be always humid and hot, but that's not the situation in the past years. So in Georgia, since 2000, we had 9 years that we were considered on a drought situation using the drought monitor. So that one every other year is like a drought year. So because of that, the growers, they are getting more concerned and interested on irrigating young plants. So they are looking for information for new orchards. However, that information doesn't exist. There is no information on that. So what is the situation for the fertilization? So we did some historical studies to try to find out where the recommendations that the grower used right now came from. And it came from the mid-19th century. So you can believe like almost 50, 60-year-old recommendation, and those numbers, they one person cited the other one, they keep citing, and that those numbers are still used nowadays. And we also believe that those numbers, they were based on studies that were done in different regions, and we know, like Rich was just saying, different regions have different environmental conditions. It's a whole different story. So we believe that they might not be suited for the southeastern United States. So maybe we can tailor the numbers a little better. Maybe we can cut the fertilization or improve, increase. So that's the current situation for the fertilization. And why it's important to make a better recommendation on fertilization, we know that adequate fertilization management induces optimal equilibrium between reproductive and vegetative growth. We don't want it to be putting too much nitrogen and having like a gigantic plant, because in the southeastern everything grows really well. And then we would have like to prune everything in the summer. So what is the point of putting a lot of nitrogen and then pruning everything back in the summer? It's a lot of labor, it's a lot of money. So what is the objective of this research? To evaluate the performance of young plants when grown under different irrigation and fertilization regimes under field conditions. And that is within the major objective of my PhD dissertation, which is improve the irrigation fertilization recommendations overall for our region. So for the material methods, before I go on the irrigation, I have to mention that we have July Prince plants grafted on Guardian. These plants were planted in the field in June of 2015 on a rate of 358 plants per hectare, which is the common density for our region. That's all. So we have non-irrigated versus irrigated plants. So for the irrigated plants, we have a network of sensors and nodes, and they communicate with a base computer that keeps the irrigation, the soil moisture content in the soil from 15 to 25%. So 25% is early in the season when the plants are actively growing, and then towards August, which is like going in like into the fall, we reduce to 20%, and then in September we put on 15%, and then we turn everything off because plants are dormant at the end. We have micro sprinkler versus drip irrigated plants. So for those that don't know, the micro sprinkler, it creates this mist around the trunk and irrigates uniformly around the trunk. And then the drip, we have four emitters around the trunk, and one micro sprinkler, it gives 8 gallons per hour of rate, and the for the emitters, each emitter gives 2 gallons, so times 4 we have the same 8 gallons per hour of irrigation rate. For the fertilizer rates, so year 1 the recommended is 65 kilograms per hectare, year 2 95 kilograms per hectare. So that's what we call 100% of fertilization, so that is our 100% rate. So what we did, we got 4 different rates. We divided in 2, so we have 50%. We divided in 4, we have 25%, and then we doubled, so we have 200% of the rate. And then we follow the recommendations for the growers. We apply 10-10-10 in March, and calcium nitrate in May and July. So, the variables that we measure: trunk cross-sectional area, canop volume, leaf and stem water potential, photosynthetic activity, and commercial yield. So starting on the results, I have trunk cross-sectional area here. So the graph on the y-axis, I have the trunk cross-sectional area in square centimeters, and then I have data for 2016 and 2017. The blue bars are irrigated plants, orange non-irrigated. We see that for both years, the irrigated plants, they had greater trunk cross-sectional area. When we move for the canop volume, we have the same situation. I have canop volume in the y-axis, and then 2016 and 17, and again, we see the irrigated plants had greater canop volume. So just to remind you, plants were planted in 2015, so 2016 is one-year-old plants, 2017, 2-year-old plants. So this is why this difference between years. How about the fertilizer rates? No, there was an interaction between fertilizer rates and irrigation system that I call. So for drip irrigated plants, there were no differences at all among my fertilization rates. However, for sprinkler irrigated plants, the higher fertilizer rates induce greater trunk cross-sectional area and canop volume. Now if we go to leaf and stem water potential. So why I have leaf and stem water potential? So in July of 2016, you can see there, that was the first time at all that we did this on our lab, and we didn't use the bags in the water potential, the pressure pump. So that's what we call leaf water potential. It's not wrong, but it's not the most commonly used one. So after that, we change it for stem water potential, and then we start using the bags and get everything correct. So when we compare the irrigation treatment, so irrigated versus non-irrigated plants, we see that non-irrigated plants, they had very stressed values comparing with the irrigated plants. And this happened because 2016 was a very, very dry year for us. And I can, you guys can see on this picture, this is a non-irrigated plants. The leaves are wilting. The plants, the leaves were turning white. This plant was on a survival mode. It was very bad. When we compare drip versus the sprinkler system, we see that sprinkler had a little more stressed plants in August only, not in July. Okay, so that was 2016 on a very dry year. When we jump to 2017, it was rain, the whole season rainy, so there are no differences at all. There is just one point there in May, which is not like a biological interesting point because minus 0.5 is not stress at all. So in 2017 was no good for my research. When we go to photosynthetic activity, so I have the simulation on the y-axis, and I have 2 years, 2016, where I evaluated 3 months, and 2017, 4 months. Here, if I compare drip versus sprinkler system, we see that in 2016, 2 out of the 3 months, these drip irrigated plants had a little greater assimilation than sprinkler irrigated plants. However, when we go to 2017, again, a rainy year, nothing different. Everything was okay. Here is the photosynthetic activity comparing irrigated versus non-irrigated plants. Again, the same style of graph, 2016 and 17. And when we look at 2016 only, look at the simulation of the irrigated plants. They were almost as double as the simulation on the non-irrigated plants. When we go to 2017, nothing was different. And 2018, I'm redoing this, and I'm getting similar results than 2017 because it has been raining every 3 days. So let's go to the commercial yield. So the yield, the first year that these plants yielded was in 2017. So you're going to tell me, well, the differences were in 2016, how it's going to be in 2017. Well, apparently the carryover of the damage that was done because of the drought in 2016 reflected on the yield in 2017, and I'll show them here. So here I'm comparing the irrigation system, drip versus sprinkler. We see that drip system had 20% more yield than sprinkler. No differences at all for the fertilizer rate, so it doesn't really matter if you double the amount of fertilizer or if you put just 1/4 of the amount of fertilizer. The plants are still going to yield the same. However, if you irrigate the plants, you're going to have 20% more yield. So what are the conclusions? I was just saying the irrigated plants, they had better results than non-irrigated plants overall. There were more difference in 2016 because of like the drought that we have. However, for the yield, there was a carryover of symptoms, and it reflected on 2017 where the commercial yield had a 20% increase. And that on our density is like $450 more per acre. Fertilizer rates did not induce major differences. So let's say that I'm a conservative. I don't want to go all the way down to 25%. I'm going to cut back 50% so I can have an $82 extra more per hectare. Drip irrigation, better results than micro-sprinkler irrigation. You had greater yield with around 36% of water savings, and that's because of the efficiency of the drip irrigation compared with the sprinkler irrigation. So let's say you are in Georgia. You are, you know, there's big company came and bought 2 farms there, and they are thinking on put 700 more acres of plants this year. So if you multiply $500 by 700 acres, that's a lot of money extra that company will have. So what is the final message of this research? Fertilizer less and irrigate. You can reduce environmental impacts and increase growers' profit. So with that, I would like to thank Dr. Chavez, my advisor, Van Yerso, Malari, Melgar, and Porter, my committee members, Pitch Lab members helping with data collection and processing all the samples, and the 2 funding agencies, Georgia Peach Council and Georgia Agricultural Commodity Commission for peaches. Yep.
Was the volume of water the same in drip and the sprinkler?
No. The drip was that 36% less in drip.
How did you calculate how much water you want to put?
I have water meters at the beginning of my irrigation lines. So every time that the system irrigates, it just measures the water.
Did you compare the ET with the soil level?
No.
There is time for questions. from the audience?
Thank you.
Excellent job.